Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name's Michelle Cashatt. I'm your co-host today, and joining me in our conversation is Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing good, especially good because today's topic is all about happy people.
Well, we're both happy, right?
Yes. Well, at least right now, at this moment. Well, today's topic is how happy people are more magnetic, how to become one in 7 steps. And I have to tell you a quick story about, I don't know, about 4 or 5 months ago, I met a woman in California by the name of Judy Squire. Judy lives on the West Coast. And when she heard I was going to be in the area speaking in Northern California, she drove several hours from Oregon to come hear me speak, which was like amazing enough. I don't think my mom would even drive that far to come hear me speak. But about a half an hour before I was to get up on the platform, Judy came and introduced herself to us. And I tell you, it's one of those occasions where it doesn't happen often, but we became friends in the span of like a minute. Mm. And the reason is because this woman was one of the happiest people I have ever seen in my life. I mean, she was so full of genuine joy and enthusiasm and warmth. And I thought, oh my goodness, I want to be like her. Now, one thing you don't know about Judy is that Judy is in a wheelchair because she was born without legs.
Wow.
Which, you know, the world would think she has every reason to not be happy. I mean, just imagine all the things she hasn't been able to do. And yet she was very much the opposite of that. In fact, you didn't really notice the wheelchair because you noticed her magnetic personality. I mean, she was just vibrant. Have you ever met somebody like that?
Yeah, I've met several people like that through the years. And I just was thinking about my dad. My dad and mom are actually living with us right now because their home is being remodeled to make it handicap compliant because my dad was injured in the Korean War. He's in a wheelchair now, and he's had this chronic pain all of his life. And I've never met anyone that's more consistently positive and happy and doesn't complain like my dad. I mean, he's amazing with that. And I know the level of pain. I mean, there's days that he can't get out of bed. There's days that, he just has to stay in his bedroom and just deal with the pain. But when you see him, you'll never hear him complain. Mm. And so we have somebody that works with us on our team. And they said to me the other day, they said, I adore your father. Oh. He is so positive and so encouraging. And I said to her, I said, well, you know, he's in chronic pain all the time. She was like, what? And I said, yeah, he is. And I went back through the background and everything. And, but it's just amazing to watch him. It's a great inspiration.
Yeah, I am so drawn to people who are like that. You know, I think of myself as fairly positive, but I am not someone who is automatically or naturally positive. I have to work at that. And I have 2 children out of my 6 who have that kind of natural optimistic attitude. I mean, everything is a can do. You know, okay, yeah. No problem. I can do that. And one to my 19-year-old son and the other is my 10-year-old daughter. And both of them, it's like the sun has just risen on their face every day. And they're positive like that pretty much 90, 95% of the time. And it's amazing. And whenever I meet people like that, I want to be like that. And today you're going to be talking about how being a happy person, certainly we have different personalities and different variations on that whole spectrum, but that being a happy person, having that kind of magnetic presence doesn't happen by accident. It's really intentional.
It really is. It's a learned behavior. Some people naturally have a more happy disposition, but I think all of us can be more happy and as a result, more magnetic. You think about the people that you're drawn to and the people that you want to be friends with and the people that have influence over you. Generally, those are happy people. Mm-hmm. I mean, assuming it's a healthy relationship, those are the people that we're drawn to. And I think the good news is for those of us who are in positions of leadership, we can become that kind of person by taking 7 steps, which we're going to be talking about.
I love that. So we're going to talk about being intentional about becoming that kind of happy, magnetic person that others want to be around, because we know that those are the kind of people we want to be around. So let's walk through those 7 steps. What is number one?
Yeah, the first one is to become self-aware. And, you know, I start a lot of things with this by just asking myself the question, what's it like to be around me?
I don't know if I want to ask that question.
But I mean, you know, to ask yourself honestly, am I a negative person? Am I the kind of person that tends to see the glass half empty or half full? And if you're in doubt, ask your spouse.
I knew you were going to say that.
Or a close friend for some really candid feedback and give them permission to be honest, because this is something that's really important to know. Because I really think that negativity, being an unhappy person, costs us more than we know. Our mutual friend Andy Andrews talks a lot about this. Happy people get more opportunities. It's because people want to be around them. Mm-hmm. People want to do business with them. People want to hire them. People don't want to hire people or be around people that are negative. And negativity is a little bit, and forgive me for using this illustration, it's a little bit like having bad breath or BO. You know, it's like nobody really wants to tell you that you've got a problem. And that's why it's important to kind of look in the mirror, so to speak, and ask ourselves the question, you know, this is just a moment of honesty, a moment of being candid. Am I a happy person generally? And we all have moments when we get down. That's perfectly fine. But in general, am I a happy person or am I a negative person?
Well, and I've learned too, for me, that negativity can become just a bad habit. So I've gone through seasons where, you know, I think of myself as positive, but a certain season where I just got in a bad habit with negativity and it took somebody speaking it out for me to recognize it.
Yeah, it's easy to get into those patterns. And, you know, I think that there are certain situations where it's easy to fall into that pattern. Mm-hmm. Like I tend to be more negative when I'm tired. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm really tired. And I think one of the reasons I got a little negative this last weekend was because I'd had a very full week of a video shoot where we were working 10 to 12 hours a day. And I came home utterly exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so it's just easy to be negative. And fortunately, I'm married to a woman who will call me out on that and do it in a very kind way, but just say, you know what? I'm not going to throw in with you on this. You know, you're being negative. You're being tired. I think the best thing you could do is go to bed early and let's, you know, start again fresh tomorrow.
Such great advice. So this first step for all of us that's so important is to become self-aware, and you will likely need to find someone close to you, somebody trusted that can speak the truth. So simply ask them, am I a negative, positive person? How is it to be around me? And then allow, you know, be open to their honest response. So that's the first step. What is step number two?
Step number two is to assess your needs. In other words, what need, and this takes a little bit of, you know, opening the hood of your life and looking at the engine, but what need are you attempting to meet by complaining? You know, I think that complaining, particularly in a work environment, is a really easy but destructive way to create connection with other people. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you complain about some situation about the boss or the system or the benefits or lack thereof or whatever it is, you know, you're going to get people that say, yeah, and they jump in. And so you feel some immediate connection. And so it's a cheap but destructive way to connect. I think, though, sometimes people complain because they have a need for significance. And when we're complaining, it kind of inadvertently or maybe intentionally puts us at the center of a drama. Mm-hmm. You know, we're complaining about somebody else, and now all of a sudden, everybody's listening to us. They're focused on our problem, our dilemma, the struggle that we're facing. And so it can be a way to get significance. And I think there are better, more healthy ways to meet both of those needs that aren't destructive and really do serve the relationships we're trying to create with other people and are much more magnetic. They're going to draw the right kind of people to us, so, but those won't.
Assess your needs. And the question, I just want to repeat that question that you stated at the beginning, because it was so helpful. What need am I attempting to meet by complaining? That's really the big question that helps us to assess our needs, correct?
Yes. Why do we fall into these patterns where we're complaining a lot? And you might notice it at work. You might notice it as you're talking about your kids, whatever. But I really believe this, and we've talked about this on the show before, that what you notice and what you affirm, you're going to get more of. So if you're constantly complaining, for example, about your kids, you know, why don't my kids ever pick up after themselves? You know, and maybe you're trying to create connection. Maybe you're just trying to blow off some steam. There could be a lot of reasons for it. But you're going to get more of that behavior mm-hmm. if that's what you focus on, especially with your kids. You know, if you give them attention and focus on the good behavior, you're going to get more of that. Mm-hmm. And the same is true for yourself. What is the need I'm trying to meet in the midst of this?
They're so profound, that one thought. What you notice and affirm, you will get more of. And just, I'm sitting here thinking, gosh, if I just put that on a note card on my desk, it would probably change my day in radical ways. Okay, so first step, become self-aware. Second step, assess your needs. Third step is?
Decide to change.
Have to make that decision. I mean,
you do.
It's like turning the corner.
Yeah, and I think too many of us give up our power too easily. Mm-hmm. We just say, hey, look, that's the way I am. Get over it. Well, that's a choice. You know, if that's something that you want to own for yourself, personally, I think that one of the amazing things about being a human is that we can change. We can decide what habits define us. Mm-hmm. And complaining is a habit. And like all bad habits, change begins when you own your behavior and you make a decision to change. And it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out process. It may take, or maybe a conscious effort at first, but it can become automatic over time. I remember when I first started learning to play the piano or the guitar, you know, I worked on scales, mm-hmm. and it took every bit of effort that I could muster to focus on those scales or to focus on the music I was trying to read. But the more proficient I became, the easier it was, so that it got instilled in my muscle memory and I didn't even think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think the same thing can happen with the things that we talk about, our habit of complaining or our habit of being grateful. Those are habits that we can develop and we can affirm, and they can become part of our psychological muscle memory.
So I want to ask you a question at this point before we go on with these steps. You're not, because my thought is there's somebody listening that's saying, you're just asking me to be an actor. You're just asking me to fake it and just right. pretend to be happy in order to play some kind of game. And I'm just not that person. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I'd say that to acknowledge the fact that bad things do happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's times when we're hurt or we're offended, like we talked about uh-huh. in the previous episode. There are times when disappointing things happen or really hard things happen. And I think that there needs to be appropriate level of grieving. And I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of person that just goes through life just kind of complaining about everything. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the kind of person that they're just, I mean, I'm thinking right now of a person that's actually a family member, extended family member, who nobody wants to be around. Because she has this, like, if this is a gift, she has the gift of noticing what's wrong and commenting on it.
Yes.
You know, so like you could have a wonderful Thanksgiving meal, but she'll notice the one thing that's not cooked quite right, or the one placemat that's got a stain on it, or the one person who doesn't, you know, seem to give her the attention that she thinks she deserves. You know, I mean, it could be a zillion things, but she's just has like this radar mm-hmm. for picking up the negative and commenting on it. Mm-hmm. So that to me is way different than a person who goes through a setback okay. and has a legitimate reason to express that in an authentic way. You know, I have no beef with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the truth is, you know, because we're talking about becoming the kind of person that other people want to be around. When we become more happy, life is just more enjoyable. I mean, the person who really benefits the most is ourselves when we decide to change.
So true. Because when you're negative, and we could prove this if we had the time, it has an impact on you. It has an impact on your nervous system. Mm-hmm. It has an impact on all your biology, your uh-huh. physiology, your longevity. Everything. Positive people tend to live longer. Uh-huh. They're healthier overall because they have healthy relationships is a large part of it.
So true. Okay. So far we've talked about the first three of seven steps. One, become self-aware. Two, assess your needs. Three, decide to change. What is step number four?
Yeah, this is a really powerful one. And it's this: shift your identity. The most powerful change happens when we begin to see ourselves in a different way and we begin to identify ourselves with a different moniker or a different label. So for example, I started running about 11 years ago, and I was never a runner before that. I didn't even really like to exercise, but I declared about 2 years into that, I said, I'm an athlete. Now I said it by faith because I was just learning this, but I said, I'm an athlete. Well, when you have that as your identity, even if you're having to consciously say it, suddenly, and this is true of all human experience, your behavior will begin to line up with your identity. So it suddenly became easier, not easy, but it became easier to go to the gym. Why? Because that's what athletes do.
And you're an athlete.
And I'm an athlete. And when I began to say to myself, I'm a runner, well, it became easier to run because what do runners do? They run. So to say to yourself, I'm a positive, encouraging person. Because maybe running through your head somewhere is this tape recorder that says, you know, I'm a negative person. I'm a negative complaining person. You know, somehow, we may not even be thinking about it, but it's just going through our brain. But to consciously shift our identity and say, what kind of person do I want to become? And then embrace that and change the self-talk, what's going on in your head about who you are.
And you can change that identity before, you know, in the early part of that process. You don't have to wait to achieve it in order to say that about yourself.
No, I think the affirmation actually comes before the change.
Because I'm thinking of that person who has been told all their life by a parent or somebody, you're just a negative person. You're just a negative person.
Right.
And they want to be different, but they've heard this message for so long. So just change the message now. Say it differently and then live into it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, think about this. When you got married to Troy.
Happiest day of my life.
Yes. Well, and you stood up there at the altar. And the minister, I mean, I don't know who married you, but let's just say it was a minister.
It was a minister.
Okay. And he said, I now declare you husband and wife. Now, it took you years to live into that. But it began with a declaration of your identity. So I became a father the day my first child was born. But it took me years to express and to grow into that fatherhood. And so I think the declaration, the affirmation of it, the truth of it, comes before you're going to experience the reality of it. So identity always precedes behavior.
Good. Good. I love that those two examples. That really helps clarify it. Okay, so far we've talked about four steps to become a happy person, a more magnetic person. Become self-aware, assess your needs, decide to change, shift your identity. We still have three more steps coming up. But before we get into that, we have one other thing to talk about. Michael, I know there's a special event happening soon that you'd like to talk about with our listeners. It features one of your favorite subjects, productivity, and a catalog of experts. So tell us all about it.
I am so excited about this, Michelle. It's a special productivity summit. It's called the Free to Focus Productivity Summit, and it's going to be incredible. I've been doing the interviews, and I'm interviewing a panel of thought leaders that have had a huge impact on me. And this is what I always do when I do a summit or do something like this. I just interview the people that I want to learn from. So I've interviewed Cal Newport, who wrote the book Deep Work.
Love him and that book. Just side note. Love it.
So powerful. Greg McEwen, whom you and I have interviewed, the author of Essentialism. Gretchen Rubin, who wrote The Happiness Project, has got the most popular health podcast on iTunes.
Great book.
Sean Covey and a bunch of others who are really reshaping the way that we think about what I call the new productivity, which is a whole different way to think about productivity, which is not getting more things done, but getting the right things done. And the beauty of this is that it's completely free. So the summit is completely free.
All these people
free.
For free?
I know. Well, we're doing it to create a lot of attention around the idea of productivity because I have a new course coming out on productivity. But this is, you know, no pitch. This is just great content, about 8 total hours of content that I promise you will be helpful and will change your mindset about productivity, hopefully forever.
Okay, I am all over this. I love the people that you're going to be interviewing. I love the subject, the content, all of it. But tell me how to sign up and when it, and when it is as well.
Okay, so all you've got to do is go to freetofocus.com/summit. And I don't have the dates in front of me.
September, I have them right here. Hold on. September 1st through 9th.
Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, so freetofocus.com/summit. Sign up and we'll send you everything you need to watch it online. That's a great thing. No travel expenses. You can watch it in the comfort of your own office or living room. And again, incredible people. One of the people I forgot to mention that I'm really excited about. This is a great interview. Jason Fried, who's the co-author of the book Rework and Remote, about a new way of working that really has taken our country and a lot of countries by storm. Shalene Johnson, Chris McChesney, who wrote The Four Disciplines of Execution. Eric Fisher, you're going to love this one. Eric Fisher from Social Media Examiner
is
going to be talking about how to be more productive with social media so that it doesn't waste all your time, so that you can really focus down on it and get it done quickly. So anyway, that's when it is and where you can find out more about it.
Okay, but the big question is, are you going to be sharing your own secrets too, or is it just everybody else?
I am. Yep. I'm going to be interviewed as well.
Wonderful. I love it. Okay, so for those of you who are listening, make sure you go to freetofocus.com. I'm planning to do it. It starts on September 1st and it's absolutely free. Again, freetofocus.com/summit. You can get all the information there right now. All right, let's dive back into our content for today. The subject is all about happy people. And the truth is that happy people are more magnetic. They naturally draw people to them. And yet some of us may feel like it's just not our nature to be a super happy or positive person, but that is not true. Today, Michael is telling us that happiness doesn't happen by accident. It's not a passive emotion, but it's more intentional, and that you and I can become a more happy, magnetic person in 7 steps. And so far, we've talked about the first 4: become self-aware, assess your needs, decide to change, and shift your identity. That was the big one, is to shift our identity, call yourself a happy, positive person right now, and then live into it. So what is step number 5, Michael?
Step number 5 is so easy. It's free. Anybody can do it. Greet others with a smile.
Yes, I love this because I think the smile is like the most powerful, natural, God-given thing that we have.
Oh, it is. It's awesome. Well, get this. According to health expert Ron Gutman, quote, smiling can help reduce the level of stress-enhancing hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, and dopamine, and increase the level of mood-enhancing hormones like endorphins. So
it's better than a drug, is what you're saying.
It's better than a drug. Smiling has an impact on you. So when you smile, you automatically release endorphins and other things that make you feel happier. This is like a little-known body hack that when you're feeling a little bit down, and again, I'm not talking about, you know, normal grief, loss, all that kind of stuff. But when you're just feeling a little bit down, one of the best things you can do is intentionally smile.
I'm actually starting to laugh just thinking about that. So I used to do this occasionally with my kids, where if it was just a bad day, we would make ourselves laugh. And it's awful at first because the last thing you want to do is laugh. But the more that you start laughing, the more you crack yourself up and you can't, it becomes a natural laugh at some point. It's the same idea.
It's the same idea, and it's contagious.
Yes, it is.
And just think about it. So I've been traveling a lot in the last 6 weeks, so I've had an opportunity to check in and out of a lot of hotels. Now, when you go into a really great hotel, like I was in a really fabulous one in East Tennessee this last week, and when I checked in, I mean, everyone was smiling. It was like they were glad to see me. So I wanted to be there. Uh-huh. You know, as opposed to, and this was a couple of weeks ago, I checked into a hotel. It was really late after I'd had a flight canceled and it was delayed and it was after midnight and I wasn't happy and the clerk wasn't happy. And they looked at me and looked like, you know, they were kind of enjoying their time reading a book and I was an interruption, frankly. And so they looked at me without smiling and it made a bad day worse. Mm-hmm. And so I think that not only does smiling elevate our mood, but it gives us like a superpower. so that when we smile, and I know this can sound cheesy, and maybe there's some people listening to us that are just going, oh, brother. But honestly, I dare you to try it. One of the people that I adore is Andy Andrews and his manager, Robert Smith, two really good friends of mine that smile more than any two people I know. Mm-hmm. And Andy has a whole talk about this where he talks about smiling, smile and nod. And it really has a positive impact when you do it.
It's so true. You know, you and I both like to exercise most every day, and I tend to do it outside. So I go for a walk or a run. And one thing I've tried to do, usually it's early in the morning, is every person I pass, trying to look at them and smile at them. And I have to say, it's somewhat selfish because I feel better. But you know, when you're outside running and you're tired, you don't necessarily feel like smiling. But something happens when we smile at each other as we pass, these strangers, right? And they smile and I smile, and the morning feels so much better. And it's amazing how it transforms both of us in the process.
Totally. And I think apropos to our topic here is it makes you the kind of person that other people want to be around. You know, if you're going to be Mr. Grumpy or Miss Grumpy, that's going to have an impact too. And if you find that people are avoiding you, that you don't have any friends, that they don't want to be around you, maybe it's just because you're negative, you're not happy, and you're not smiling.
Mm-hmm. There's, and you know, people can go research on their own, but there's this whole science about mirror neurons, you know, that when we smile, it stimulates the mirror neurons in the other person. So there's actually truly a scientific response to it.
Wow. I've heard that before too, and I think it's true.
All right. So step number five, greet others with a smile. It's free. It's easy. Everybody can do it. All right. Let's move on to step number six.
Okay. Step number six, catch them doing something right. So one of the principles is that you see more of what you notice. Like you buy a car, let's say you buy a Lexus or you buy a new Tahoe or whatever. Suddenly, magically, those cars are everywhere on the road because you're seeing more of what you noticed. Now you're an owner of that car, so you notice it more. Well, the corollary of that is something we've already talked about, which is you get more of what you notice. Mm. If you catch people doing what is right and you compliment them for it, guess what happens? They start doing more of it. It's not manipulation, it's influence, and it's contagious. Everybody wants to be noticed for what they're doing right. One of the most powerful things that we can do as humans is to look at another person and in effect to say, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the people that typically are the invisible people. You know, the people that are waiting on us at the restaurant or the people that are serving us in some way that often get overlooked, but to stop and recognize their service, to acknowledge it. And not only do we feel better about ourselves because we brighten their day, but it also actually increases the level of service that you get because people naturally want to do things that please other people. And if you can express that, you're going to get more of it.
Oh, such good advice. So catch them doing something right, both for their benefit as well as your own, because you get more of what you notice in others. All right, what is step number seven?
Okay, this is really powerful. And it's this, speak well of others.
Okay, so now you need to unpack this, because how does this make me a more magnetic person?
Okay, so here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't deal with bad behavior by confronting it, okay? I'm saying you should deal directly with the people involved rather than complaining about it to those who are neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. It's kind of like your mama's advice, if you don't have something positive to say, don't say anything at all. Mm-hmm. Because there's this thing that happens in our mind when we hear somebody complaining about somebody not present.
Mm.
And it's subtle, but we have to acknowledge at some level of consciousness, or have to wonder, what is he or she saying about me when I'm not present? And therefore, because now all of a sudden I don't trust them, because that's what really happens. Mm-hmm. I don't trust them with my reputation because here they are in front of me. They're not part of the problem. They're not part of the solution, but they're complaining about somebody that's not present. I got to believe that they're going to be doing that about me. So I want to avoid them because I don't want to be complained about.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, when we speak well of those who are not present, and by the way, again, I just want to emphasize, if you've got a beef with somebody, go to them.
Uh-huh.
There's a place for that. I'm not talking about, you know, glossing that over. But when that person's not present, speak well of them. When I was in the corporate world, I remember this one job I had where my boss had a horrible reputation. And he had a horrible reputation because he was very, use a big word here, mercurial, mm-hmm. which meant, you know, he was up volatile. And down. Some days were good, volatile. Mm-hmm. Some days good, some days bad. And people just used to say the worst things about him all the time. Just laugh at him, joke about him, imitate him. It was terrible. And I kind of had a moment as a matter of personal integrity where I looked in the mirror and I said, you know, I'm not going to take a check from him because he was my employer and speak ill of him. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. And so I purposed that I was not going to complain about him. As tempting as it was, and as awkward as it was to walk away from those conversations, I said, the only thing I'm going to say about him are positive things. Because if you look hard enough, even in people that aren't that pleasant, you can find positive attributes.
Absolutely. In everybody, you can find something.
Totally. And so I just focused on those things, and I would make it a point of commenting out loud about those positive attributes that he had.
And you're not talking about lying, but truly finding something you could be truthful about.
Yeah, because there actually were incredible things about this person and about their business acumen, about their skills, about their charm, all that. But I would just notice that and leave it at that. I didn't rebuke my colleagues. I didn't, you know, walk away in a huff. I just decided that I was going to be the person who always brought the positive into it. And little by little, we changed the culture. We changed the culture under me because other people tend to emulate what they see in their leaders.
Oh, that's so true.
And we, like it or not, as leaders, we replicate ourselves. If we are negative, complaining people, guess what kind of people are going to be under our command, so to speak? Negative, complaining people, because they see that that's the acceptable behavior. Mm-hmm. But if on the other hand, if you're positive, if you're noticing positive things, people under you will see, oh, that's what it means to be a leader. That's what this culture is. None of this is conscious, of course, but unconsciously they'll see that and you can begin to affect and create a positive culture. And I get asked a lot, or people say to me, well, I can't change this culture, this lousy company that I'm in or this lousy ministry I'm a part of because the people above me are negative. And I want to say, no,
that's a cop-out.
That is absolutely not true. It's a total cop-out. You can change it. You can change. I think that's the measure of your leadership is, can you influence a culture that's not naturally positive? It's a great test of your leadership. If you can learn to do it there, then I think you're often given a greater level of stewardship where you can preside over a bigger, you know, a level mm-hmm. of authority. But until we learn that lesson, you know, last thing we need is more people promoted who are negative.
So true. And, you know, John Maxwell has a book, The 360 Degree Leader, which talks about your ability to influence in multiple directions. It's not just down, it's up as well.
Totally.
And to realize that you have that influence. All right. Well, today we're talking about how to become a more happy, magnetic person in 7 steps. These are very practical. Even if you don't feel like you're naturally a positive person, if you put these 7 steps into practice, you will start to notice a visible shift. In fact, I bet the people around you are going to notice a visible shift pretty quickly. Those 7 steps are: 1, become self-aware. 2, assess your needs. And the key question there in assessing your needs is, what need am I attempting to meet by complaining? 3, decide to change. 4, shift your identity. You just got to speak it out. Say, I am a positive, encouraging person, even if you don't feel like it, and then live into it. 5, greet others with a smile. 6, catch them doing something right. And 7, speak well of others. Well, if you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. Can you do us a favor today before you go? It will only take about a half a minute. Head over to iTunes and rate this podcast. It gives us some valuable feedback on what content is helpful for you, but it also helps improve our rankings that keeps our show visible so other people can find it. Thanks so much for helping us out. Michael, do you have any final thoughts today?
Yeah, I'd like to give people a 7-day challenge.
Ooh, I like it.
Okay, so become a positive, encouraging people. So much so that people will think something radical has happened to your life. But just decide for the next 7 days, you're going to test this and see if you're not happier, and see if the people around you are not drawn to you because of your happiness. 7 days, So all you got to do is you can go back to your grouchy self on the eighth day if it doesn't work, but just try it. I promise you, it's a better way to live.
And I personally would love to hear from you. If you tried the 7-day challenge, please reach out to me. Let me know. I would love to hear how it goes for you and just kind of hear what kind of experience that you had. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.